All right. This is Sunday morning, 12:10:23. And we're going to do part two of demonic activity and apostolic ministry. And this particular segment is Satan's deterrence. You know, we kind of touched on that Wednesday night. But I want to start with this scripture. I don't know if you are sensing in the spirit a change. I can't say it's physical. It's definitely, for me, it's mental. It's like I'm walking out, even though I'm physically doesn't appear that I am. And this scripture, yesterday the Lord quickened this scripture to me. It says here, this is Philippians, you don't have to turn there, Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And that's when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said this. What you choose to think on is where your mental state will be. And wherever your mental state is, that's where you are. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So if you make a determined effort, no matter what you're going through, to think on these things, maybe it would be the opposite of what you actually are experiencing, but you choose to say, thank you, Lord, that it's this way. Thank you, Lord, that it's that way. I choose to see the good report in this, not the evil report. That's going to have a lot to do with us coming out, because that's the way it's going to be as we come out. Right? We're coming out of Egypt. The whole world's going to be coming out of Egypt. All right. We all know that Satan uses one tactic to deter us from our mission from our Heavenly Father. That deterrent is based in fear. Fear. False evidence appearing real. The bad report, what I just read here in Philippians. It's always based in fear. We can see through the journey of Paul how Satan used his fear tactics against him. Paul would not allow it. Paul kept his eye on the target. His goal was the prize of the high calling. So Satan throws out these deterrents. He throws out things to try to get your focus off of what the mission is. Because regardless of what you're going through, you know your mission. And it may seem they're not related, but I tell you they are. The enemy tries to deter you from following in the footsteps of Jesus and doing what he called you to do. He'll go to great lengths to try to do that. I thought back whenever we went through all that with Amber and with Brian all at the same time. And I mean, we had churches praying for us. I remember some lady telling her church about what had happened to us, and this church we didn't even know about was praying for us. You know, and I think back on it, I'm thinking it was by the grace of God that we got through that, because you couldn't humanly do it. And at the time, you know, God's grace was there. We knew that he was. Was it difficult? Yeah, it was difficult. But people looking from the inside out going, dear God, I don't know how they're still standing. It's because people like that prayed. That's how. God's grace does get you through the places. And you'll look back and go, wow, how did we do it? God's grace. If you think it's not working, look back at another situation you've been through that was hard and you realize God was carrying me the whole time. I just didn't realize it at the time. Yeah. I mean, we had people because we really didn't have, we had our little fellowship, but we didn't have anybody else. If it wasn't for Daddy's church and their home group, Mid-Cities out there, they come and just loved on us and took us up like we were part of it. Part of there. We're part of the body of Christ. See, the Lord saw to it that he made a way where there seemed to be no way. Okay. We don't need to give up on the body of Christ today, because there's a lot of good people in the body of Christ, and a lot of people that hear the Holy Spirit. They may not be walking where we're walking. But, you know, we're being trained to train. Understand that. We're being trained to train. So we're coming into a new era. And it'll come out. It won't happen overnight. It's a process. And people will come on board, especially when they begin to hear the truth about some things. All right. Philippians 3 is another right here. Paul makes this statement. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So that was Paul's, what kept Paul putting one foot in front of another. It's the goal that was set before him. He wouldn't be deterred. We're going to read a lot of scriptures this morning. I want you to see this, because what I believe the Lord is imparting to us is this: having confidence to walk out in what's ahead. You know, you kind of get comfortable even in the training and the wilderness, or whatever you want to call it. You kind of get comfortable in that. Then the Lord begins to kind of start pushing you out and broadening your mental capacity to start thinking about a little bigger, a little broader, instead of you're just boxed in and you're just doing what, you know, going through the training. Now God's saying, okay, now you need to start looking more towards the goal, so I can cause you to come out. Well, you're not so boxed in anymore. Opening your mind back up to people and to things. In fact, this holiday season, I've watched a few Christmas movies. I haven't done that in years. And I've enjoyed it. It's like it's freed me up mentally to actually enjoy something. So, Lord, I can't remember the last time I really enjoyed anything. It's been so hard. But I believe what he's showing is that's not forever. For a time in the training, it's intense, and your focus is on learning what God wants you to learn. But then there comes a time you come out. And I believe this is where we are. All right, we're going to read some here. This is 1 Corinthians 1. I'll start at verse 26 there. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world, the ones that the whole world's cast away, and the church too. Chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Your calling. What is this about? This is about our calling. There is a schooling for your calling, and now thus comes the calling. All right, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. All right. 1 Corinthians 7. Starting with verse 20 there. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. If I could teach anything to the body of Christ, I would say, find your lane and stay in it. Keep your nose out of everybody else's lane. If we would do this as the body of Christ, boy, we'd get so much accomplished. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called, being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You're bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. So our call is from God. It's not from church. It's not from a church. It's not from a minister. You know, I remember all the years that we followed ministers and we gauged everything by, well, Brother Copeland said, Brother Hagin said, Fred Price said, Charles Capp said, Copeland said. We gauged everything by that. And we gauged everything that happened to us by, well, this must be like they went through this. No, I don't think we're to do that. That's, are we to follow in the footsteps of these people, even though they may be noble and good ministers and taught good things? Are we to follow in their footsteps? No, we're to follow in Jesus' footsteps, because you know what? What happens if he don't take us the way of them? I feel like I've had to unlearn everything that I learned just going to church. And I don't mean that in an ugly way, because, I mean, there's things that I learned through the Word of Faith that's just priceless. But the Lord's expounded on that. See, God gave that revelation to them, and they taught it to their people. But God has stuff he wants to teach you yourself, not I'm of Paul, I'm Apollos, of Apollos, but I am of God. I follow in his footsteps. Let's keep going here. Ephesians 1. I tell you what, you talk about a powerful book, the book of Ephesians. I think you could just, if you just had that book right there, you could be an overcoming Christian just by what the revelation Paul received, the Ephesians prayers, the armor of God. Okay, this is Ephesians 1:17. This is the Ephesians prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, if we all had the understanding within us, we would never be led astray by a leader. It's not wrong to follow a leader, but when they start going south, you don't go south with them. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So what is he saying here? Jesus is the one we follow, even in this setting, as the whole body. He's the head of the church, not the pastor, or not any other office. It's Jesus. He's all five offices, right? Jesus. We follow Jesus. And if the leader's not following Jesus, yeah. We've been in a few of those situations ourselves where we had to cut ties because they weren't following Jesus. Okay. Ephesians 4. 1. Therefore, the reason I'm saying this to you is this today. In the days, weeks, months ahead, especially being an apostolic ministry, there's going to be a lot of know-it-alls. And you better know who you are. And so it won't dissuade. You understand what I'm saying? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, verse 1, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Who called you? Are you daddy called? Preacher called? Or God called? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I say to you this day, what God has called you to do, don't let any preacher talk you out of it. And if they try to, then I would say go somewhere else or do something else. Stay with your call. Stay with your in your lane, your vocation. And if they won't allow you to be that, maybe there's another place for you. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So God has laid down these gifts in the church to mature the saints to do the work of the ministry. As long as they're doing that, just keep on trucking. Some people, we've just seem like the churches we've been around, most of them, they do all right for a while and they just kind of go off the rails. We got to keep following Jesus no matter who goes off the rails, right? Well, we can't put too much stock in men, even though God has placed men and women in the body of Christ, fivefold ministry gifts to mature us, bring us up. So, well, we won't be babies anymore. But I'm telling you honestly, just a few people that I am around, and sometimes a few new ones that I see in certain places I go, they don't have any clue about being mature. They just do their churchy little duty and have their little committees and do their little, you know, Sunday school class and all of those kind of things. And I guess that's okay. But as far as they don't know what's going on in the world, they don't seem to know anything that you know. And it discourages me, but I'm thinking, well, we know the old guard will be going home. It does. It hurts me when I see people that are older that don't have a clue. You know, but, you know, a lot of the young people don't have a clue either. And some have a little clue. They're waking up every day, so we can't give up. But we have to follow the Holy Spirit and Jesus and follow in His footsteps. You know, what God's told you to do, He's not going to hear that excuse. When you say, well, Lord, I was following the pastor. Well, I didn't tell you to follow the pastor. I told you to do this. I told you to follow me. I'm not talking rebellion here either. This is not what I'm talking about today. We were in many. In fact, Danny had a word, a prophecy one day about, I started your training really back in the 70s when we went through that shepherding thing. And he said, I've let you see all kinds of stuff. We've seen, you know, a horrible church split. And I'm thinking, yeah, I can see it now. Now I can speak to it. In one place, it got off with the Jew stuff. And, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, he kind of let us see from every perspective where the body of Christ was sitting and how they were going off the rails and falling apart. So that we would know when we come across these people that have been there too, we can say, we've been there, we've done that. There is a better way. All right, I read four to you. Okay. I believe that through this divine order that God has set down in the church, people can reach their full potential. That is the goal. All have a call, and this is part of the duty of the ministry gifts, is to help the rest of the body find their place and begin to function in it. Did you hear that? It's not for me to lead you and you follow me step by step and not have an opinion or anything else. This is not the goal right here. It's to help the rest of the body find their place and begin to function in it. Isn't that what I just read in Ephesians 4? In other words, find their lane and stay in their lane. This is the purpose of this passage. Oh, I wish we'd have had that in the beginning. I thought, man, would we be even more of a powerhouse today? Had we had not, we've had to take so many precious years to unlearn. You know? All right, Romans 12. I know I bring this scripture up a lot, but it's essential. It is the first thing a Christian ought to do. If a person does not do this, he just might as well not do anything. And I mean that. Because all they're going to be doing is just a bunch of fleshly stuff. Been around them for years. Part of it at one time. But I will say this. Since I did this in my life, the Holy Spirit has done nothing but teach me who I am and how not to listen to what anyone has ever said to me or made me feel like I didn't measure up. They were all wrong. Who cares what they think? I don't care. I care what God thinks, and He's the only one I'm going to answer to, and you too. I know it's not wrong to esteem people. Not wrong to give credit where credit's due. But don't follow anybody but the Lord. Don't you even follow me that close. Well, Carla said. No, you follow Jesus. Because I don't know everything. All I know is what the Lord gives me to bring, and that's what I bring. All right. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Whether you realize it or not, if you're not following the Spirit, whether it be in church functions, you're of the world. If you're going to a church and they just do programs and things, it's not of God, unless God has ordained that program. If they're just doing stuff, that's of the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. And then he goes on to talk about the body and the grace working through all the different kind of gifts in the body. There it is right there in a nutshell. Renewing your mind, finding out what God's called you to do, getting where He tells you to, and staying there until He says, now you can go there, then go there, or stay there, whatever He says to do. It'll keep you from shipwrecking. You know, I could probably count five things the Lord's probably told me to do in the last 10 years. First was radio, do TV, do house church, do Wednesday night. That's what for? He's a man of few words, the man Christ Jesus. Man of few words. He tells you just what you need to know. And he said, just says, well, shut up and march. You know what I'm saying? Kinda. All right, here's your marching orders. Get to it. What are you doing off over there? I told you to do this. Well, Brother Copeland said. Oh, I love Brother Copeland, but you know what? You don't answer to Copeland. You answer to God. I don't know why I'm going this direction. I don't, but the Holy Spirit does. He knows our squirrely thinking. We'd rather mimic than listen and obey. That's why we got sheeple everywhere that, meh, meh, what do we do now? We're being led like sheep to the slaughter. Well, if you're not following Jesus, you're like a sheep being led to the slaughter. Whether you realize it or not. It may be a comfortable, you know. Lord knows who will hear this. All right, 2 Thessalonians 1. This is to encourage you today because the gospel is not complicated. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. It's pretty simple. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, destroy. Y'all there? 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't depend on some preacher to cause you to understand what your calling is. You should be renewing your mind yourself and finding out what He's called you to do. And I'm telling you, when you find out, nobody could talk you out of it. Nobody could beat it out of you. Hear people say, well, the Lord said, but I didn't do it. I'm thinking, how could you not do it? Don't blame me if you didn't do what you're supposed to do. The preachers get blamed for everything. You know that, right? It's because people don't think for themselves. They don't hear God for themselves. That's why He tells you, before you ever do anything, find out what's in the will for you. Now, if old great Aunt Lilibel left you something, what would you do? Man, you'd have that will and you'd be down at the eternity. You'd be finding out what you got in that will. Well, we got a whole lot more in this will than we ever will in anybody else's will. I don't guess I've ever been in anybody's will. Doesn't matter. I'm in God's will. Isn't that the only will that really matters? Right here. He has a will for you. A thought out, purposeful plan for you, and it's designed just for you. Nobody else can fill those shoes but you. You see why now, when people don't do their part, we're like a puzzle with pieces missing. We're like a body with missing parts. No, I wanted to be something else. I didn't want to do that because it wouldn't have brought any fame to my name. Maybe you're the little toe where nobody ever sees. But it's a very, very important part. When you read about the body parts and the body of Christ, that's what he's talking about. Every part has a purpose. And it really doesn't matter if yours is least and someone else's is greater. I believe we'll get the same reward for obedience. All right, let's keep going here. 2 Timothy 1:9. I want you to start getting goal-oriented, calling-oriented, focusing on your calling. Quit focusing so much on what the devil did and the devil's doing. Who cares? Set your face like flint. Don't be moved. Plow forward. Don't look back. Isn't that what the Spirit's been saying to all of us? Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began? Wow. Before he even said, light be, light was, he already had your future, his will for you planned out. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Pretty important. Go over to Hebrews chapter 3. I don't know about you, but this encourages me. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. It hurts me today that the churches I've gone to, for a woman, you could either do the nursery, teach the kids, and if you had a voice, you could sing in the choir or sing a special. But really, they might even let you do the youth group if you had your husband with you or something like that. I'm thinking, what has that got to do with the heavenly call? Not a thing. Because in the body of Christ, there is no male or female. How limited. Now, men don't think as much about that as women do because they don't get the boot like women do. And I'm not saying anything other than the fact that nobody's going to keep me from doing anything because I found out who I was, found out what God's called me to do, and I'm going to do it. If there's none here, two here, a million here, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to be dissuaded. And if you don't like it, I can say, well, you can just carry your little old hiney out of here. That's the way I feel about it. Why? Because I put up with it. And I'm not going to put up with it anymore. That's just the way I feel. But see, I had to come to that realization or God couldn't use me. Because I was so cowed down my whole life that I got to where I was cowed and people would be mean to me. And it would cause me to be even more cowed down. Until one day the Lord began to show me who I was. And I came out from under that and I realized, you know what? I'm okay and I'm on my way. God is pleased with me. Why am I trying to please anybody else? See, when you have that attitude about what he's told you to do, come or go, who cares? It's not a big deal. It doesn't rock your world. It doesn't rock your boat. You don't fall apart. You just keep on trucking. Just keep doing what he tells you to do. He just brings different things. He has a plan. All right. Did I read all of Hebrews 3 to you? No, I read verse 3. All right, let me read it over. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now we know when he came to Moses, Moses was so broke down, he said, I can't even talk, Lord. The Lord wouldn't let him get away with anything. I'll give you your brother to speak for you. Didn't know what happened? This is the man that come out of Egypt mighty. In word and deed. Now he's a blubbering idiot. He can't even talk. But God said, now that you're a blubbering idiot, I can send you back to Egypt to deliver my people. Because you're no longer full of yourself. It's the truth. He doesn't need your expertise. He needs your brokenness. That way you'll listen and you'll obey. Well, they don't always talk about the wild stallion has to be broken. Well, most definitely. Yeah. All right. Is there any particular time you need to leave? All right. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It don't matter if you're recognized at church or they pass you over for everything because you don't do it their way. It don't matter. It's your heavenly calling that matters. And, you know, for some people it may be outside of the church realm. No matter the placement, the enemy will send deterrents to sidetrack the mission. I want you to recognize we're all going through different things, but I want you to recognize what they are. They're deterrents. It's not that you're sick. It's not that you've sinned. It's not that you've done all, the checklist you go down to blame yourself. If I'd have done this, if I'd have done that, forget all that. Is it all forgiven? Then it's not anywhere back there. I remember the last church we really went to that had I'll just say that. I remember being on the praise and worship team, and I remember I had a word of prophecy, and I remember, quit looking back. There's nothing back there. In other words, the Egyptians were washed away in the sea. There's not anything back there anymore. Don't look back anymore. We can only move forward. That was the problem. They kept going back to Egypt, looking back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Why? Because it got tough. But God supplied everything for them, but it was tough, so they wanted to go back to Egypt. And ultimately, they didn't go back to Egypt, but they didn't get to go into the promised land either. They just wandered around in a circle until they bit the dust. All right, 2 Peter. Did I read that? Yeah, I did. Okay. All right, no matter the placement, the enemy will send deterrents to get you off the track that God has put you on. Paul was unbeatable and unstoppable. He only conceded when God showed him he was about to depart. We see Satan's plans even at work today. His goal for us is death or a pot in a cot. Isn't that the deep state agenda? You will own nothing and you will be happy about it. Oh, crap swab. You will own nothing and you will be happy in a 10 by 10 cubicle. Well, the boomerang is in process. They're the ones who, if they live, they will get a pot and a cot. It may be at Gitmo or Del Fuego or whatever, Guam, whatever, different ones all over. Iceland, there's about six or so. Gitmo's at full capacity from what I hear, so they're having to make other prisons. Yeah. Yeah, when you think about, what was it, 500 million arrests? Based on the indictments, each indictment can hold up to 99 private ones in within them. Wow. And we think there's not going to be any gaps in anything. All these people out of the way. All the big corporations gone. All right, that's why the white hats have put, when they snatched them out, they replaced them with someone wearing a mask or whatever, to appear that they're still functioning. So it doesn't shock the system so bad. They're trying to do it as easy as they can. All right, Genesis chapter 50. The boomerang is in process. Genesis 50:15. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a message unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. In other words, we're not now to rise up and lord over them. Right here. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? See, judgment belongs to God, not the militia. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. He was sent ahead of them to preserve them. Isn't that what's happening today? You're awake for a reason, to help them along instead of saying, I told you so, just suffer in it. No. You'd like to do that, but no. We're here to teach them, show them the way out. It's a mental process. It's going to be more mental than it is anything else for people. We have to have the right attitude. You're God's chosen messenger. He's called you by divine design before the foundation of the world to do something. Satan would like to back you into a corner and keep you there, but we must look past that and stay in our lane, focused on the target. It's easy to stay home and not get into the fray, and that is fine when God is using that, but eventually we will have to go fishing. All right, go to Luke chapter 5. Verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon entering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, I am a simple man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had besought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So the Lord's called you out of your old life and your old ways of doing things to now do it his way. And the blessing's there. There's where the blessing is. If Satan keeps us occupied with his deterrence, then we won't be occupied with God's mission for us. We'll waste our time on worthless endeavors, thinking about ourselves. What are we going to do? How are we going to get out of this mess? Our land is occupied by demonic entities, no different than in the days of Joshua and David. These are spiritual beings, not physical giants, but spiritual. I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, well, this is a spiritual warrior. I think it's even the Q post. It most certainly is. Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of, what is it? No. Matthew 11:12. Suffereth violence. The kingdom of, is it kingdom of heaven? Let's just look at it. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, it's not just easy peasy. I like the Amplified when it talks about this narrow path and the wide path. It makes it look like the wide path has a pretty park bench, you know, a little lamp and trees, little birdies flying around. You just enjoy on that road, the wide path. But the other one's contracted by pressure, it says. And to me, it's like being on a conveyor belt and every kind of thing is snapping at you and trying to pick you with something and hit you with something, just beating the crap out of you. The narrow way. President Trump calls it the road less traveled. Yeah. But he says this, never, ever give up. That's why Trump is the success he is. He lives by that credo himself. We must run them out. Learning to ignore the deterrence is key. If you keep your eye on the target, you will not be swayed by the deterrence. You just go, whew, roll your eyes, shake your head, just stay focused and go forward. We are the treaders, not the demons. Do you feel like you've been tread on? Tell the truth now, yeah. You are the treader. They don't tread on us, we tread on them. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Lord has told us you're in no harm. It may not feel very good, but you're in no harm. What is it? Satan's lies, Satan's deterrence, to get your attention off of what you need to be doing. He don't want you taking him out and his strongholds he's built up all across our nation, all across our world, all those ley lines and all that. He don't want you taking those out. We just need to get the right perspective today and understand it's not because you're sick. You don't need to to use healing scriptures, it's because you are doing what God's told you to do. Let's get a clue. We seem to just, what? What's going on? I hope you won't look at it the same after today. We're going forward, people. We're coming out of the training. We're coming out of the wilderness. And we are going, advancing forward, and we're going to take the kingdom. And we will not be deterred. We've been given overcoming power. We must stay in I can mode and never let the enemy get us over into I can't. Speaking no evil is very important. 1 Timothy 2. I tell people, especially on television, that this is a place you can start, and in the end, concerning the infiltration of the enemy. Right here. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. In other words, quit passing judgment. Quit speaking evil. Loose love. Pray for your leaders, because God is the judge. He raises up one, brings down another. He will take the king's heart and turn it like a water course when we release love. If they did nothing else but this, it would make a huge difference. I hear so much trashing and bashing about everything. There's programmers I can't hardly listen to anymore, because all it is, they started out okay and now it's just trash and bash. Trashing and bashing Christians. Trashing and bashing the leaders. I don't care if they are evil. He didn't say trash and bash. He said, pray for them, because I'm going to hold you accountable. All right. Love should always be at the forefront, because what is there about love? There's nothing else in the Bible that says love, like love never fails. There's not anything else in the Bible that says that, but love. Love never fails. When you get love involved, you get God involved, and we know that love never fails. Love leads to quiet and peaceable. Isn't that the goal? Quiet and peaceable lives. God's apostles will lead the way, working in conjunction with the fivefold ministry gifts. His grace will be there to do the job. But we're going to have to become a team, and that's the challenge. That's why the old guard's going to die off, because we have to have those that God has been working on like us for years. They've been standing in the wings waiting for the curtain call for them to exit, that it's their time, their stage. All right. We must learn to turn the tables on the enemy. He uses his scare tactic to keep us from fulfilling our mission. Look for the signs of them wherever you go, for they will always give themselves away, and God will show us what we are to do to scatter them. They scare us because we are a direct threat to them. We have been given the ability to take back everything their leader, the thief, has stolen from us. Torment them for a change. Once you know what is really going on, it will help you to walk through the spook house and not be affected. Like the little boy on Last Man Standing. Our goal is to get back everything that the devil has stolen from us and to get as many on board with us as possible. I hope this will help you to move forward. Now we're going to put what you're going through in perspective this morning. And all of us are going through. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. One thing about God, you know, we pray, God, would you do something? Get this off of me. Help me do something, you know. And this phrase here that I used it quite often, is God standing there. I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you, devil. It's God. It's me. I'm standing here. It's not the devil. It's me. I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you. I don't like it, but I'm teaching you. He's not going to teach you in the areas where you are strong. So that is really a mistake that I think a lot of people make. They think, like when you go into church, well, you got a talent in this area, so we'll use you. It's just the opposite in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, God chooses the weak things to confound the mighty. He takes a person and he works all of their weaknesses out of them, and then he gets glory through their weakness. He don't need your strengths, because that's where you start getting exalted in pride. That's where you start getting into flesh, is where you're strong. But in the areas that you're weak, God will use those things to be he be exalted, not you be exalted. Do you understand that? All right. 2 Corinthians 11:16. This is Paul speaking here. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Right here, we're going to break this down. Labors more abundant. Well, labors means a reducing the strength or pains. Stripes above measure. Stripes means stroke, wound, or calamity. Prisons means a cage or being guarded. Death means literally a figurative death. We know he was stoned to death. This is Acts 14:19. Like I told you, they go for the head to make sure you're dead. Verse 19 there, 14:19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. All right, go back to 2 Corinthians, or, yeah, forward to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Right here, verse 1 of chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven, and then knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth me, unless I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I think he was saying to God, can I stay? Do I have to go back? If that truly what happened right there, which is a great possibility. All right, beaten here means beat with a stick or a rod. A rod is a stick or wand with a cudgel. In other words, I'm not sure what a cudgel is. A cane or baton of royalty. Stone means to lapidate. Lapidate means to pelt with stones. The goal was to kill. Shipwreck means stranded. A day and a night in the ocean. Journeys away from home. Perils, uncertainty, and danger. He talks about all his different perils. This includes in waters, by robbers, by countrymen, heathens, in the city, in the wilderness, at sea, and among false brethren. Seemed like everywhere he went. Weariness is to tire. Watchings means sleeplessness or kept awake. Hunger means destitution and scarcity of food. Thirst, nothing to drink. Fastings, abstinence from lack of food or voluntary. Cold means chilly or cold from lack of clothing. Nakedness means nudity and daily care of all the churches. In other words, Paul, I didn't put those scriptures in here, but Paul walked places. Some places he took the ship, but after three shipwrecks, he probably thought, nah, I don't take the boat this time. You know, I think I'll walk, okay? But you know what? They faced robbers. They faced getting their stuff stolen. One of them had to stay up all night and watch the stuff for them to not be robbed of their food, of their clothes, of whatever they had. Just think about that. You know, we get to fly places or do stuff, you know, go in a car, whatever. Well, they didn't. All right, let's put this in perspective today. When viewing these things that Paul faced often, how do you compare? I would say that most of what we have put up with are just inconveniences in comparison. Maybe a little pain here and there. We are so used to comfort that anything out of our normal gets us out of sorts. Isn't that the truth? We like things the way we like them. When they aren't like that, we get a little out of sorts. All right, a few more scriptures. Acts 27. What's the Lord saying? Toughen up, buttercups. All right, start with verse 1 of 27. When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched many to sail by the coast of Asia. One of Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends and refresh himself. So he's a prisoner. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us thereon. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Simone. And hardly passing it came into a place which is called the Fair Havens. Nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of Paul. I know how Paul feels. I can't tell you how many words I've had over the many years of the Lord to a person directly, and they went and did just the opposite. And then they're all upset because they had such a mess. They won't listen. Danger could have been avoided, but they don't want to listen. They want to just do their own thing. All right, where did I stop? All right, and he said to them, Sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after those arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Thought, well, we tried to tell you. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. When fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the ship were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they had cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And when the day was come on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that we have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. When he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all, and when, wait a minute, and we were in all in the ship 216 souls, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling to a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass they escaped all safe to land. And when they were escaped, they that knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Now think about that. Such a day in the life of Paul, a 2-week hurricane, cold, wet, naked, hungry, and then a snake attaches itself to your hand. I said, "Laura, are we really going through as tough a thing as we think we are?" It all has to do with your mental attitude. It all has to do with how you view things. It was obvious, Paul, he had a winner's mentality, and there was nothing going to deter him from being so or doing so, no matter how he felt or what came his way. So I encourage you with that today. Paul had grace to go through the things he went through, and I'm not saying we'll ever have to go through the many things that Paul did. Probably not. I mean, just because of the times, a lot of those things happen naturally just because of the times. They had to get around. How are they going to get around? If the bridge was out, what'd they have to do? You know, they'd have to swim, or they'd have to walk, or they'd have to catch a boat. You know, things were a whole lot more difficult during that time than they are today. So, God gave Paul grace to go through everything he went through, and he did. He made it. He obtained the goal. We can do this. All right, go to James chapter 4. Verse 6. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Well, let me read 6. Wait a minute. What did I put? Yeah, 6. I didn't do 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you, or nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What is double-minded? Either you're a winner or you're a loser. There's double-mindedness. Whatever comes against you, you fall to pieces. Or you embrace it and think, what did I start out with? Philippians? About the good report? Believe in the good report? See, our attitudes can negate the grace. I find myself, when I can get myself in a good attitude, I have a good day. If I let something upset me and get me all out of sorts, I don't have a good day. All right, I've got just a few more here, I think. Let me see what else I got. All right. Go to Acts 4, 33. And with this is verse 33 of Acts 4, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. All right, Romans 5, 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 17, that same chapter. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive, which is the mission statement of this ministry, abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Grace helps us reign. Romans 12, 3, I already read that earlier about you get grace for what God's called you to do. You can't say, I can't do this, Lord. He says, yeah, I can. I gave you grace for it. It's what you think about it, right? 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. All means all, right? I already read to you Ephesians 4, 7 earlier, didn't I? Okay, I won't read that. Here's what grace means. It's charis, I think is how you say it, graciousness of manner or act, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, gratitude. And in the vines, it says pleasurable, delight, favorable regard, beauty or gracefulness of person, divine favor, the sum of earthly blessings, and the power and equipment to do ministry. So grace under fire. We have grace under fire. What you're doing by allowing God to use you will not be without reward. The day of the Lord is coming, and I personally believe that it is closer than we think. And I've got just a few more things to read and we'll be done. Joel chapter 2 and 3. As I read this, just think about today and see if it fits for you. I think it fits. When I was reading, I thought, man, Lord, it sounds like today. All right, chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Talking about the mighty men here. God's raising up. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. Behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble as a strong people set in Belaray. Sounds like the alliance, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Before their face, here's the spiritual warriors, and you've got the natural alliance of military. Before their face, the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. That is what I'm talking about today. Whenever you set your eyes on the goal and you stay in your lane. It's not called not breaking rank. Neither shall one thrust another. In other words, you're not a backbiter and a stabber, trashing all your fellow truthers. They shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter at the windows like a thief. Now, if this doesn't sound like the day, I don't know when. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Well, the righteous can. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth that he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering, a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and let the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. There's the church getting back where it needs to be. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill favor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beneath her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. So be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. Jubilee. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out of my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, and I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them, therefore, for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they may drink, or might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because ye have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried it into your temples, my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border. This is all human trafficking we're talking about here. This is what's going on in Israel. They're rescuing those dumbs underneath. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where ye have sold them. and will return your recompense upon your own head, and I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, so to a people far off. For the Lord has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is Armageddon. For there shall I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. This is the kingdom. And it came to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever in Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Doesn't sound like he's going to let anybody get by with anything, does it? Mm-mm. I believe this is where we sit. It fits so perfectly. A couple more scriptures and we'll be done. All right, this is Psalms 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. The Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. All right, one more passage, Luke chapter 9, and we'll be done. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So it's going to be worth it. Toeing the line, focusing on the goal set before you, and just keep on moving. Just keep on following the Lord. Just keep on obeying the Lord. And one day, he's going to be here, and we'll be so glad that we did. Yeah. All right.